You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
2 weeks before Christmas, Minister of Citizenship and Immigration Jason Kenney unveiled the federal government's designated country of origin list. The scheme empowers the minister to declare certain countries as safe for the people who would become refugees. Refugee advocates say that claimants who arrive in Canada from a country on the designated country of origin list will be rushed through the refugee claim process, deprived of important procedural protections, and denied fundamental justice. Peter Scholler is director of the Refugee Forum at the Human Rights Research and Education Center at the University of Ottawa. He joins me this morning from Ottawa. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
Is this category a new feature of Canada's refugee determination system?
Yes, it is. And it's part of wider changes to the system that were passed last June and have been introduced as of December 15. So this is part of a wider attempt to speed up the system, but then the designated country of origin list, and I will refer to DCO to make it simpler, is a categorization of some of the refugee claims. And this is the first time in Canada that the government has categorized or separated out some refugees from others. So in that sense, it's completely new.
And you mentioned the effort to speed up the process. What other justifications did the government give for creating this category?
Well, the justifications they've focused on here is, in the words of Minister Jason Kenney, is to deal with the bogus refugees. I say that with quotation marks around bogus because it's a very serious mischaracterization. But to give the government its due, they noted that last year the highest claim country by far in Canada was from Hungary. So these would be Roma people, and we can talk about that later if you want, who were making claims. A couple of years ago, the highest claim country was from Mexico. So the government has said they're concerned that some of the highest claim countries are ones that have very low acceptance rates. And to say it's low acceptance rates would be fair. To call them bogus refugees is totally unfair. Then I should say there's another motivation, and the government hasn't hidden it. And that motivation, particularly in regard to Hungary as a European country, is that there are political and economic concerns for Canada. They do want, they've been quite clear about this, they're in the process of negotiating a free trade agreement with Europe, and they cannot impose visa restrictions as they have right now on the Czech Republic, for example, and certainly they could not impose one on Hungary if they want to negotiate a free trade agreement. So they have very specific political motivations for declaring certain countries to be on the designated list. The problem of that, obviously, from the point of view of human rights lawyers and refugee advocates, is that the Refugee Convention is supposed to be about protection. Do you have a fear of persecution or not? There aren't supposed to be secondary issues, whether or not this will be to Canada's political advantage or disadvantage.
And what kind of criteria does the government actually use to decide if a country should go on the list or not? You mentioned
there are three criteria, and this is one of the criticisms. The criteria are these. First of all, is it a democratic country? Secondly, there's two kinds of criteria. There's statistical criteria first, and essentially, to make it simple, if their acceptance rate is below 25% for claimants from that country over a three-year period or any time within the three-year period. The second one is it a democratic country? Is it does it have an independent judiciary? And is it a civil society? The criticisms of that are that there are not specific questions about whether or not there are human rights violations committed against some of the citizens within the country. Are those citizens given specific protection? So that's bothersome because the European countries, for example, have those questions. And the other thing that's very bothersome is in the legislation that they revised, there were independent human rights experts on a committee that would make recommendations to the minister. the minister, this government, removed all of those independent experts from the committee. So the concern, and this is one of the concerns for the Canadian Association of Refugee Lawyers, is that there will be designations that are arbitrary. They're based on very vague factors. And secondly, there will be secondary motives, particularly political or economic motives for putting a country on the list rather than for legitimate human rights concerns.
And what would be an example of a political motive of putting the country on the list?
Well, I gave you one before in terms of Hungary. Minister Kenny has been quite open about it, they want to develop a free trade agreement, negotiate one. They are in the process of doing that, and they cannot complete an agreement if they're going to impose visas on any of the European countries. So there's a very, very clear and very, to be respectful for it, very strong economic interest in ensuring that visas are not placed on those countries, so they find a way to do the designation. Perhaps I should explain to your listeners, one of the things to understand is that even if there are low acceptance rates, even though it's a democratic, being a democratic country, for example, does not mean that some of the citizens of that country are not persecuted. I mean, Colombia is a democracy. Afghanistan is a democracy. There's lots of countries that where certain minorities within the country are still at risk. And that is the primary general complaint about designated countries of origin, that it may be generally safe for the majority, but that there are specific groups of people. For example, in Hungary, it would be the Roma people who have been traditionally the victims of serious, not only discrimination, but persecution. Other examples, for example, would be homosexuals. Gays are often targeted in countries where it's relatively safe for the general population.
I understand that there's a possibility that a country can end up on the list if the Immigration and Refugee Board rejects a high percentage of claims.
That's correct. If it's more than 75% of the claims are rejected, then that's one of the criteria which the minister can use to be placed on the list. And let me be clear that the use of DCO lists, so-called safe country lists, in itself has some theoretical defense. There are many people that oppose it for the reasons I told you. That's simply that there can be some people that are seriously at risk, but they're the minority within the country. But here's the primary problem within the Canadian model, is that if you had a designated country of origin list and you gave them accelerated processing but still had a fair refugee claim process, well, then that's theoretically defensible. The problem with this is that the government has imposed a claim system on them that is outrageously unfair, that will not, in many cases, give a fair assessment of their claim. Specifically, there's only 30 days to prepare for the hearing, and that's simply insufficient. There can be 15 days. The entire new process is too fast, but it's doubly fast for people on these DCO lists, and 30 days is not enough time to find a lawyer, to present your claim, get the evidence, and appear before the board. So that's the first problem. It is just way too fast for the first hearing. And then secondly, the new reform that has just been introduced with this new system, the new appeal, because there is now an appeal, DCO claimants do not get an appeal. So it's the combination of a very fast first decision and no means to rectify that for any mistakes that were made because of the hastiness of the process. So those are the primary concerns about the DCO list. There are secondary ones as well, but that's the brunt of the problem.
While they ask a federal court to review the decision, if they were to bring it to a federal court, do you have a right to remain in Canada?
No, you don't, and I'm glad you asked that. And I didn't want to become too technical. When I say there is no appeal, there's an appeal to the Refugee Appeal Division of the Board. So DCO claimants do not get an appeal. They can always seek judicial review of the refusal before the federal court. Judicial review is not an appeal. At best, you can think of it as a demi-appeal, a half appeal. It's very difficult to get access to the court, but any other claimant, when they make their application for judicial review, then they cannot be removed from the country while the court tries to figure out whether this was a mistake or not. With DCO claimants, there is no automatic stay of removal. So they could be whisked out of the country the day after the refusal happened from the Immigration and Refugee Board. So they have to go to the federal court and ask for two things. Ask the court to please look at the case because there were serious mistakes in law, which they can do. And secondly, they ask, and will you please let me stay in the country while you make that decision? We do not know what the federal court is going to do with that. However, traditionally, the federal court has been quite parsimonious with the granting of stays where there are no automatic stays. So the great concern is that before the courts really had a chance to look at the claim or the refusal, that they can be removed from the country.
And you, like, when you go on the government website, there are 27 countries currently on that list.
That's correct.
You've outlined the problems with what happens to refugees when they're coming from those countries on the list, and you've discussed the problems with the factors that are used to determine how countries end up on the list. Is this a problem of there even being a list, or is this a problem of the details of how to create a list?
Well, there's the two things. First of all, if you narrow the problems, first of all, the theoretical problem is there being a list at all. For many human rights lawyers, they feel the list itself is a problem. I would take a middle position and say, you know, the list wouldn't be so bad if, first of all, it was the appointment to the list, the designation, was a fair, objective process, one that was not controlled by the minister. So that's the first basic problem that you've got. And secondly, and certainly if you've got an arbitrary designation, then it's a completely unacceptable system, and quite frankly, in the view of many, it will not survive a constitutional challenge. But then the second problem is that you can speed up a refugee system. Our system needed to be speeded up. But speeded up means that in 6 to 8 months, you allow enough time to decide the refugee claim. If there is a denial, there's a time for a legitimate appeal, and then prompt removal after that. That would be a legitimate process. It would be 6 to 8 months. Here we're talking 45 days before they could be removed. So those are really the essential problems with the system. And if I can add one thing that what people don't understand, or many don't understand, including, quite candidly, the Minister of Immigration, is just because someone comes from a so-called safe country, and a good example of that, for example, would be people that are persecuted for their sexual orientation. Those are extremely difficult cases to prove. They're difficult to prove because people come from countries where they're habitually they've hidden their sexual identity. They're often ashamed of it because they come from a country where, for example, Iran, that completely denounces any form of homosexuality. It's difficult for claimants like that to gather the evidence and even be candid about their fears of persecution. So those are exactly the kind of cases that need more time. Often they need psychological reports. There's no way you're going to get a psychological report in 30 days for any claim. So they're tremendously disadvantaged in trying to prove their claim.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Peter.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Take care. I've been speaking with Peter Scholler. He is director of the Refugee Forum at the Human Rights Research and Education Center at the University of Ottawa. You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio 100.5 FM.